Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. Auntie Mame said, life's a buffet and most poor suckers are starving to death. Oscar Wilde said, most people are other people. And the Spanish philosopher Baltasar Gracian said, most things are jackets. I have no idea what that means. But I do know this, the common word in all those expressions is the most.
Well done.
So in our trail through the things that are the most emailed, the most shared on the internet, we start with Dan.
Hey, how are you? I'm still trying to figure out what most things are jackets means.
Most things are jackets, Dan. Just accept it.
I'm just going to go
you
ahead
guys
and
just aren't
it.
Deep enough. Yeah. I totally understand it. You guys are all jackets.
Yeah. Hey, so are you.
Yeah.
Most emailed here from Yahoo News. Divers find Caesar bust that may date to 46 BC. This is quite an exciting find. I'm excited by it, and I know very little about archaeology. They found a bust of an aging Caesar in the Rhone River in France near the city of Arles, which was founded by Caesar. And they're saying it may be, they have to get the exact dating on it, it hasn't been verified, but it may be the oldest known bust of Caesar.
Wow.
It depicts him at an older age with wrinkles and hollows in his face. We should put a photo up of it on the blog because it's actually quite detailed, and it's kind of amazing to see this person, get some idea of what he actually looked like.
Well, all that detail has sustained underwater.
It looks like it's in pretty good shape from what I saw. And they also found a nearly 6 foot tall marble statue of Neptune at the bottom of the river. They found a couple of other smaller...
That's where you'd find Neptune.
Naturally. Yeah. A couple of other small bronze statues, about 2.5 feet tall, of one of a satyr with his hands tied behind his
this
back.
This wasn't all one haul from the ocean
It's in the
floor.
Same area. Not the ocean, it's from the river.
From the Rhone River.
And this was all basically in one area. And this is apparently just scratching the surface of this specific area where they believe that they're going to find a lot more exciting stuff.
I would tend to disbelieve the authenticity of the Caesar bust only because I think I read that on the back was inscribed the words 10 times craps play for the Emperor's Club. So I think it might have been from Caesar.
There's actually a slot in the back of his head where you can put
Caesar's
chips.
Caesar's Tahoe is the provenance of that one. Rachel, what do you got?
I have one of the most emailed stories on MSNBC. This is a story about a delinquent young woman who refused to go to high school. She had a history of truancy, and her father is paying the price. Brian Gegner, who lives near Cincinnati, was sentenced last week to 180 days in jail for, quote, contributing to the unruliness or delinquency of a minor. Apparently, his daughter Brittany, who was underage at the time, a minor, was just ditching out on school. And a court said, enough is enough. Your dad is the responsible party, and it's his responsibility to make sure you get to school. Not only that you get there, but you finish the requirements necessary to pass the GED, the high school equivalency exam. Well, she didn't do this. And so then poor Mr. Gegner got shipped off to jail. And Brittany says, it's not his fault. He shouldn't be in jail. It's my fault. And even Brittany's mom is saying that this poor man shouldn't be jailed for their daughter's missteps.
Well, maybe Brittany should have thought of that before she ditched out on school all those times.
Maybe Brittany should have thought of that, a phrase we say often on the most. Ian, you're sitting to my right. I assume it's for a reason.
Yeah, I have the number one most emailed story at the Dallas Morning News.
Well, that's a good reason.
All I really have to do here is read the headline.
Man
uses gun for back scratcher, shoots himself.
Dope.
I saw that and I immediately pictured a rifle. Turns out it was a handgun.
I pictured a handgun too, actually.
I'll also read the top of the...
I pictured a foolish man.
A rifle would be too long. You'd scratch below the back.
Whoa.
Could be used like a back screen.
I mean, a back scratcher is
sawed
rifle
off shotgun.
Yeah,
a rifle would be too long,
that's
and a
really
handgun
the ideal.
Is the perfect back scratcher.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
That's not what we're advocating here. He apparently had an itch on his back, according to Fort Worth police.
An unconfirmed
and
itch.
Quote,
allegedly had
or maybe
itch.
He thought he saw a varmint back there.
He grabbed the first thing he could get a hold of, which was, in the words of the lieutenant,
peace.
A revolver. It was around 3 a.m. on Sunday. He had been drinking beer and playing poker.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, you could, a beer can, I don't know, was there a knife
and,
around?
And how
anything?
Bad was this itch that he had to grab the first thing he saw that he couldn't be like, maybe I'm going to go to the second thing. The
I
first
can,
thing is not the best option.
Jacob's asking the real question.
Guy.
Why was his finger on the trigger?
Yeah. That's another great question.
It's natural when you go to grab the gun. My finger always goes for the trigger.
I noticed that with Rachel.
Yeah.
She's always ready.
What I like to do is gently back up into the bazooka I have in my house and just rotate my back. I find that that really hits the old spot.
I just prefer not to scratch my back because you never know when you're going to get shot.
Yeah, it could be a gun. Yeah. Right.
By the way, he's okay. He was... It was treated.
We should have asked that question a little earlier.
This guy was never okay. All right, who else? Dan, you have more or Trish?
No, that's it.
All right, Trish, you want to go?
Sure. I have the number three name on Google Trends, and before I tell you what that name is, let's play a little sound.
I have come back from an injury, and I feel strong. I feel healthy, and the season has started really well, and I'm leaving the game on my terms.
I know who it is. It's the back scratcher guy.
No. This is golfer Annika Sorenstam. She made a surprise announcement yesterday that she's getting out of the game of golf. And she's doing really, as it said in that clip, she's doing pretty well this year. And people are surprised because they thought she was on track to break a couple of records, you know, for most tournaments won. But she's going to finish out the season. Her last event is going to be in December in the Dubai Ladies Masters. I mean, if you're going to go out in Dubai,
always.
I say. And then she's going to get married in January. So apparently she wants to give 100% of her focus to her golf game or 100% of her focus to her personal life. So
she has, Annika.
It should be noted that she has for a long time was head and shoulders above all the other competition in women's golf. I mean, she's the Tiger Woods, the Michael Jordan, whatever.
Right, and if you remember, she made a splash a few years ago. She competed in a men's PGA tournament.
That's right.
First woman to do that in decades. So
if you've done all those things, I mean, she's got nothing left to prove, really. So she can go out on top.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There you go, Annika.
All right. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I was going to introduce Matt Martinez.
All right. It's a good thing to do now.
How you doing?
Hey, Matt.
I've been standing in the corner.
You're standing in the corner. I'm like, are you coming up to the microphone?
Contemplating the back scratch guy.
Sorry. Yeah, that story. It's a good story. Well, I have one of the most viewed stories at NPR.org. At number 7 right now, it's a report by Celeste Headley at Detroit Public Radio about young people fleeing Midwestern states. You know, the headline's Young Workers Flee Midwestern States.
When they say flee...
I know, it makes it sound like there's so like Frankenstein is chasing them out of Ohio.
People are clicking on it, aren't they?
They just looked around and realized it was Nebraska. It was a more slow process.
I see flee, I click.
That's right.
Good verb. Why are they fleeing? Luckily, we have the report right here. Here it is.
Frankenstein.
This is the sound of college kids doing what college kids do on a spring day on the campus of Wayne State University in Detroit. They may not even be aware of it, but what they do after they finish school will have a major impact on the economic fortunes of the entire Midwest. You see, businesses tend to locate in places where there's an educated, energetic workforce, and many of these students aren't sticking around after graduation.
People go to where they think they're going to get work. Jobs go to where they think they're going to find the right kind of people.
That's economist Dave Swenson of Iowa State University.
Where those two things intersect currently just isn't in the Midwest and the plains.
So people are heading west, east, and south in search of a better lifestyle. And Carolyn Salee with the Anderson Economic Group in Michigan says it's no surprise.
Manufacturing jobs falling by 30%. And so those are the good-paying blue-collar jobs that you needed a high school education, and you could go and you can make a $60,000 salary.
Moving statistics from moving companies really tells the tale of whether states are having in-migration or out-migration. And the Midwest and Illinois, for example, is suffering from out-migration at a very large rate.
That's John Tillman with the Illinois Policy Institute. He says his home state has lost over 700,000 people in the last decade.
You can certainly see it in places in the Cook County, outside of Chicago, some of the neighborhoods that have struggled. You can see it in certain parts of the city where there'll be blocks and blocks of boarded up places where people have left.
And Dave Swenson from Iowa State says it goes beyond urban areas and manufacturing jobs.
The Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, all are losing population in their non-metropolitan areas.
In fact, Swenson says 75% of counties in those states have seen declines. And it's not that state governments aren't aware of the problem.
Every state in the Midwest has been doing everything they can think of to stimulate growth, to try to entice, bribe, or otherwise subsidize economic development. Whatever it takes to remain competitive, they've tried it.
Carolyn Solis says Midwestern states know they have to let go of the old industrial economy and start adapting to modern realities.
So in the auto industry, maybe not making cars, but doing all the research and development for it. Or it's taking the agricultural products and then, you know, thinking about how they could be used and turned into fuel.
And it's slow, probably too slow to stem the current exodus of 20-somethings. But Susan Ramsey of the Greater Des Moines Partnership says her city is focused on those recent grads and two-income couples. Yes, the city is diversifying, but it's also about doing the little things.
We learned from a lot of our employers that they were having trouble landing interns because what they were going to pay interns for the summer wouldn't necessarily support them in renting an apartment for the summer.
And for those couples where both are pursuing careers.
When a company recruits one, they're not, you know, they're able to connect and make a hire because we can help find that trailing spouse a location here as well.
But no matter what solutions they choose, it seems clear that Midwestern states need to act immediately to avoid future misfortune. Kurt Metzger is the director of research at the United Way for Southeastern Michigan.
The forecasts are showing that Michigan's going to be 25% over the age of 65 in no time.
Metzger says states can't sit back and wait for things to improve. It's time for a complete change of mindset.
Those Midwest values that we all feel very strongly about, the whole idea was, yeah, the kids are going to go away because the kids always do, but they're going to come back when it's time to raise a family. Well, it doesn't happen anymore.
Metzger says it's not just about reforming the tax structures or developing new industries. It's also about updating those Midwestern values. And that could mean changing everything we think we know about the Midwest.
That's Celeste Headley, a reporter at WDET in Detroit. You can find a link to this and all the stories you heard on The Most Today at our website, npr.org/BryantPark.